Matthew chapter 16, a hallmark passage. The Lord is asking who the people say that he is, and then he asks the disciples, who do you say that I am? This verse here, in verse number 18 of Matthew 16, we want to focus upon what the Lord says here, and that related to it. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Cephas, right? A little stone. That thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the Lord indicating to himself, because that word rock there is bedrock, big rock, not little stone. And upon this rock, the Lord Jesus Christ indicating to himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the death of men, shall not prevail against it. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, with the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message, our place in our Lord's church. Our place in our Lord's church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the blessing of the day, this wonderful, beautiful day that you've given us to meet together with your people, your house, your church that you've placed us in to worship you. Father, we thank you for each member that's here, and those who have made an effort and have been convicted to be able to be here in the services. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us. We trust that we have worshiped you, and we pray that you'd help us so we could continue to worship you even this day. Help it in the word, and Lord, give us attentive hearts and ears into it. And Lord, cause your word to sink down in us, and Lord, to grab a hold of us. Lord, we might be taken in the throes of your word, Father, and be touched and stirred and blessed by you in it. For those that are here and not saved, Father, we pray you'd save them. You'd save their souls, and Lord, use them in your service by adding them to your church. And Lord, that you would just work in that. You're the only one that can. And we pray, Father, that you'd take your word, make it effectual, move with the Spirit, and save sinners, Father. They might come to you in repentance and faith as you command. Lord, work in it. It's your great operation, and we pray that you would bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ here, he tells in verse 17 that it's not been flesh and blood that's revealed this, that they know, that Peter knows in verse number 16 that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that he is God come down in the flesh to be a Savior for his people. It's not flesh and blood. It's not the way of man. It's not the ability or the intellect of man that's caused Peter to know this, but it's been revealed to him by the Father. Jesus says he's going to build his church. And indeed, he has done so from this time, and even at that time that he was there on the seashores of Galilee and calling his disciples unto him, and they being used of him, baptizing those that came, confessing Christ as Savior. Indeed, our Lord has built his church. And when we talk about it like this, the Lord's speaking here institutionally. We want to have clear understanding of that. The Lord's work in the building of his church has been done by the building of churches, okay? Not buildings, but bodies. Bodies that he has built from those that he has saved and that he has added to his church. We've got a lot of scriptures this morning, so bear down and buckle down. I hope your old Bible's oiled up because we're going to look at these. Acts chapter 2, let's see what the scripture says here. Acts chapter 2, verse number 47. Here it tells about the first church there and with some opposition that they have seen in Jerusalem. And what's it say here that they continue daily in verse 46 with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They observe the Lord's Supper. They observe fellowshipping together in these verses here. They met together to worship and hear the preaching of God's word and that. It says in verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, the Lord adds to his church. It's his building. He's the one that's building. Just like you and I might undertake to build some building, some structure, the Lord Jesus is building his house. He has a divine plan, doesn't he? The design and plan of the Lord is that sinners are saved. They submit to scriptural baptism, and they serve and worship our Lord in his church. That's the design of the Lord. That's the plan. That's the ultimate that the Lord has set up, and he adds to his church. In Romans chapter 12, let's take a look over here. Romans 12. Not only does he add to his church, but we see this a point here. In Romans chapter 12, the chapter starts off, the apostles beseeching our brethren in Rome to submit themselves, their bodies, a living sacrifice, their own physical bodies, a living sacrifice for the Lord. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That's just getting started good. Verse number 4, he says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." In the Lord's church, our Lord's church, the church is one local body in our Lord Jesus Christ. This just isn't a club. Understand that, brothers and sisters. This just isn't a club or a good get-together or such as that. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and I, if we've been saved and added by Him, we're part of this body, a local body that can be seen, brothers and sisters that can be known by one another, not some mystical, universal, ooey-gooey thing that's floating around in the atmosphere, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For as we have many members in one body," right? I've got fingers, hands, arms, a head, neck, legs, toes, feet, and so on. "And all members have not the same office," okay? My fingers don't do what my lungs do, and I need very much for my lungs to do what they do. I need my body needs what my fingers do, okay? We don't have the same office. But you know what? We all need to show up. For the body to be healthy and whole, we've got to do our part. And we need to take this and not this put this in the middle part of the list of our life, but we need to take this and put this at the top of the list of our life. Because this is a calling by God. This is a calling by His Son. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." We're connected. We're connected. We're connected in a relationship and a kinship by the blood of our Savior that is going to transcend this time. It's going to go on into glory and into heaven. And there's few things that you can say that about. In Ephesians, along that line, in Ephesians chapter 4, we read here just one passage. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25, not only the Lord is building His church, He adds to His church those that are saved. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, it tells and it alludes the plan of God and the working of God is not this thing that we see in our time, in our quote unquote modern times. Oh my, we have our modern times and we become as dumb as a rock in some things. We live in a day, I'm told that my generation, I was born in 1965, that my generation is the generation that maybe had some last touch. It was a point of transition of commitment to anything. My generation is that generation that looks just to get what we can get, not what we can commit to. Said, "I'll take what I want. A Jesus, salvation, sounds good to me. I'll take that. But as far as service and you strapping me down and pinning me down to do anything for my, well, you say for my Lord, I just don't need that." What a terrible thing. What about the generations after that? It's no wonder our world and our country is in a mess. We just become a me too, just me and I kind of people. But this thing of being in the Lord's body and in His church, it's a calling. It's a commitment. And that's the way that the Lord, the Scripture says here, in the mind of the Lord and the working of the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's just the way that it is. Sinners are to be saved or submit to scriptural baptism and serve the Lord in the church. Well, I don't like that liability. I don't like that responsibility. I don't want this to be required of me. Give me Jesus, but after that, I don't want anything else. Look out. Look out and beware. I'm not saying that you need church membership and baptism to be saved. You don't. You need Jesus Christ. But one that's been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't there a change? Isn't there a desire for spiritual things and obedience to the Lord? Here, not only did the Lord add to His church and that the church is a local body of our, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in Him, but here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25, the Scripture says, "Wherefore, putting away lying," this is to the people of God, church at Ephesus, me and you that are here members of Amsterdam Baptist Church, "speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Don't be found lying. Don't be found lying to the Lord. Don't be found lying to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't be found lying. We're connected. We're members one of another. And we have this connection because of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, and the world will talk all this down. Even the religious world, so-called, doesn't understand about the church. Making the church and taking the family of God and stretching that to the church and all that, it's just terrible. And the Lord has given us the truth, and He's blessed us to see these things. The world hates it. The religious world denies it and hates it too. And the thing is, but most everybody you'd run into on the street would deny that these things are so. But it doesn't, just because the world and the religious world hates it, doesn't mean that it's not right. We are to be obedient to it. It's serious to our Lord. It's serious to our saints. The saints, our brothers and sisters in Christ, for centuries and millennia before us, they died because of their stand for the Lord's church and the things related to her. It's important. It's serious. It's a big part, biggest part, if you will, of our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 15, let's see here what he says. He tells about how it is where they have, what they have been saved from. I'm looking right at it. Verse number 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves," verse 10, "nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." When the Lord saves a sinner, He saves them from their sins. We've been saved from our sins. And I tell you what, may the Lord help us we not brag about our past sins too. May we not brag. May we not boast. May we not revel in what we've been saved from. May the Lord help us in that. And He goes on here to say in verse number 15, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" Yeah, my physical and spiritual being is a member of Christ, not only by salvation, but through His church. Members of Christ? "Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Physically, we should not do so. And spiritually, we should not do so. We are to follow after our Lord." Our Lord didn't go to the temple ever after He raised from the dead, did He? Our Lord didn't go and appear to the government when He was raised from the dead, did He? Our Lord, He didn't go up to His hometown in Nazareth and appear to the folks there after His resurrection, did He? Who was it that our Lord appeared to? Our Lord appeared to His church after His resurrection. Top of His list. And it needs to be top of our list too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we consider here in verse number 12, and 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 12, the Scripture says here, "Listen, for as the body is one and hath many members," we've seen about that, this reaffirms it, "and all the members of that one body, being many or one body, so also is Christ." We've been put together. We're individual members, but we've been put together in this body. And this body is led by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, Brother Jim is pastor, but Brother Jim needs to be listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, too. And Brother Jim isn't a dictator to tell this is the way it's going to be and that's the way it's going to go. Brother Jim is to be the spiritual leader. He's to shell out the Word of God and tell you the truth, what God says out of His Word, as it would be for us to go forward as a church, as it would be for us to go forth in our individual and personal lives. I'm to tell you the truth of God's Word, but we're all to be listening to what the Lord says and obedient to Him in it. We've been put into His body. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. Get it? He tells it. He's saying it over and over again. One body. We're in a body. And if I'm over here and you're over there and we've all got our own plan and our own way and our own pursuits, we got a sick body, don't we? But if we're following after the Lord, seeking to honor and glorify our Lord, then we will be in unison and can do this thing that we've been called into and fulfilling the Great Commission and worshiping and serving our Lord. Verse number 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. I tell you what, that is, baptism is that entrance into the church, and that's a serious thing, and because of what it's talking about, what the Lord Jesus did for us. Our public identification with what our Lord has done. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, doesn't matter your nationality, color of your skin, side of the tracks, who you know or who you don't know in this world. Whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to, well, remember what our brother said, read this morning, or has been in devotion in John 6, 53 and 54. I'll read you this. This Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. We have been partakers of Christ. We've been saved by Him. And not only have we been saved, we've been added by Him into His body. It's serious. It's great. It's wonderful. We have a part in it, a place in it that He has done for us, and then has brought us into and put us in. And then in Romans chapter 6, recently read this and dealt with this on Wednesday night. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The grace of the Lord bestowed upon us by His salvation, what a wondrous thing it has been to be saved from our sins and from self and from the world and from Satan. What a wonderful thing it is. Well, it being so wonderful, should we go ahead and continue on in some sin that more grace might be piled up? No, 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 no. That's missing the point. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? He died for us. Where therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That's what it shows. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Being a part of His church. We've been called into that. We've been saved from these things. And being put in His church, are we going to continue in disobedience to our Lord and our place in the church? Or are we going to obey Him? As said in Corinthians 12, 13, we are all baptized into one body. Being baptized wasn't just some neat thing to do. Some exclusive thing, and it is exclusive, but just one thing to knock off your list. I was baptized. We had a baptismal service. No, it's identifying with Christ. We've been saved from our sins, and we've been saved unto Him, and we've been called into His church and put in that organism, that body that he's running and in charge of. It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It goes on to say in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, another word used there, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We look forward to that. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It's sinful to be a member of the Lord's church and not be taking your place. Me not be taking my place. It's sinful for us to do that. We've been saved from that. We've been called unto this service in this way. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Well, I like being saved, and I like that thought of the resurrection, and I like that thing of eternal life and living with the Lord forever. But I just really don't have any time for this church thing. Think about it. Think about it. That's the attitude of the world. Is that your attitude? Is that my attitude? Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. Hear that? Sin is done. Sin is, I know we sin. I know we fail. I know we have thoughts in our hearts and minds that are wicked and sinful. And we struggle and fight against those things. But we've been saved and called to his church. And what about your place in the Lord's church? Are you taking your place? Verse 10, for in that he died once unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And if he lives unto God, shouldn't we? Amen. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, dead unto sin, dead unto shirking and not taking our responsibility in that place that we have in the church. We're dead to those things. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the desires or the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. That's what's happened to us. So yield to the Lord, not to that family commitment. Yield to the Lord. Not to that idea of taking work and servile things and doing them on the Lord's day. I mean, there's a whole number of things. Yield to the Lord rather than this or that or the other that we would pursue in the stead and service of the Lord. Yield to our Lord. Yield to our Lord. It said, if every member of the church was like, behaved and operated like I do, what kind of church would we have? In every respect. Would we not have services, some services? Would we have people to be engaged in the work? Or we'd have sometimes we wouldn't have people to be engaged in the work. Would there be any giving if other church members gave like I gave? We've got a calling from God. Again, this isn't like the Rotary Club. This is heavenly. This is from on high. He says, yield. But yield yourselves, there in the middle of verse 13, unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For if sin shall have dominion over you, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We're under the good, glorious favor of God. Been saved from my sins. And not only that, have not been just left And it's the blessing. The blessing of God is the salvation of the soul. But you and I have been blessed not only to be saved, but to be shown about His church. And not be to be left alone physically in this world, as many that are saved and just drift about. But we've been shown the body and been placed in the body that we might be taught, that we might be edified, that we might be part of that means that the Lord would use to perpetuate His faith. What a blessing. What a calling indeed. Now we come back over to 1 Corinthians 12. We wanted to touch on that, and I know it was a long touch, but we needed to see it here in verse number 13 of 1 Corinthians 12. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, rescued from self and sin. Those things are past. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. How can the Spirit of God work in you to obedience and work in me to disobedience? Spirit of God won't do that, will it? Will He? Spirit of God won't do that. Spirit of God won't work in one to disobedience and work in another to obedience. The Spirit of God is within us. That's how we're saved. Drink into one Spirit. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Well, I don't teach Sunday school, therefore I don't need to be at Sunday school. Will that hold up before the Lord? You think that the Lord Jesus is ever missing in action when we have Sunday school? Or any service? Or when we meet together as a church? You think Jesus is not here at any time? When the church is purposed to meet together, when the church has efforts and works that they do to spread the gospel or to have special service, you think that there's ever a time that Jesus doesn't come? Jesus is here. He's promised that He would be. Just because you say, well, my place is little. Listen, your place is big. It doesn't matter if you've got a place in the church and that you've been added by the Lord to the church, your place is big. Your place is necessary. Indeed it is. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where was the smelling? Listen to verse number 18. But now if God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased Him. You're a member of Olmsted Baptist Church. You've been set in this church by the Lord. God set the members. You say you're saved. You came to membership in the church either by baptism or a letter of recommendation from another church, or as we have received some, the church has received some, by statement of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ and scriptural baptism. You're a member of this church. You've been set here by the Lord. Not some agent out here. You've not been set in Olmsted Baptist Church by your Kentucky senator, but by the Lord. Will we ignore that? As it has pleased Him. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? If you had just one big hand or finger, you wouldn't have a body, would you? But now are they many members? Yet but one body. Many members. You've got a place. If you're a member of this church, you've got a place. You've got a responsibility. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The members can't say about themselves, I'm not a big part here. I'm not a significant player. No, you can't say that about yourself. If you've been added by the Lord, you're a member of this church, you are a very significant part. No important. Your part is no less or no more important than any other. Because here we're not dealing. This thing isn't to be dealt with the way men see things. Men like to put things in order, don't they? And the Lord has order, but we like to say, well, this one's higher than this one, this one's lower than this one, and this one's lower than that, and this one's higher. Well, that's the way men like to do it. The Lord says, you've got a part, I've put you there, and you're equally responsible to it. Equally responsible to it. We are. You are. And you can't say that about yourself. Nor can one part say, well, I'm a bigger, better part than you are, so you just simmer down. Or you're not as important. No, God has added the parts. God has added the members. And that member is just as important as any other member. The members can't say that they're not important about themselves, and nor can any member say about another member that they're not important. Because God's doing this work. God, our Lord Jesus, is doing this building. Amen? Verse 20. But now are they many members, yet one body. But one body. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Every part is necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. You know what? I'm blessed to be able to walk this morning, and my toes helped me get that job done. Because if I didn't have my toes, I wouldn't be walking around the way I'm walking. Every part has its part under the honor and glory of our Lord. Okay? And so may we understand that. May we see that. Our bodies are members of His body, His church. Let's go ahead and finish out this passage. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, verse 23, verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. We don't need any schisms. Schisms are unhealthy. If I have parts of my body that just want to lay in the bed, come tomorrow, I've got a problem with my body. Here? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That's the way the Lord thinks about it. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And so, Church at Corinth, Olmsted Baptist Church, we are indeed members of His body, His church. Jesus has built His church. He adds to His church. The church is one local body in our Lord Jesus Christ. In His body, we are connected to one another. Our bodies are members of His body, His church. And then we turn over here to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Another hallmark passage. And we use this to teach about marriage, but the subject is the Lord's church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17, we pick it up. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I've read that for years, but that's interesting that it's right there. Church member, don't be unwise. Don't be unwise about your calling of the Lord and salvation, and your calling by the Lord Jesus into His church, into His body. Don't be unwise. This world will tell you a bunch of stuff that if you hold to that and you follow after that, you'll be unwise. I will be unwise. You listen to your body, and you will be unwise. He says here, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's personal worship right there of our Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, a thankful people. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. How do you like that? We've got a responsibility one to another. You know what? I'm the under-shepherd, not the overlord. I'm responsible to you, and you're responsible to me, just like you're responsible to me as I being your brother and you being my brother or sister. I'm responsible to you, and you're responsible to me. We're connected in this thing. And you know what? You just don't walk away from it. You just don't walk away from it. This is ordained of God. This is the building of God. You just don't walk away from this. This is serious heavenly business. And we have a responsibility one to another. I don't give answer to anybody. You sure do. You give each and every one of us give an answer to the Lord. And if you've been saved and added to His Lord's church, not only do you answer to the Lord, you answer to the church. I answer to the church. I'm not above the church. Even being pastor, I'm not above the church. Any man that would ever think that he's above the church, or the church is his mechanism, his vehicle to pursue his pursuits. This isn't about Jim Duke's ministry. This is about the Lord's ministry in Olmsted Baptist Church. Submit. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Well, there it is. But listen to this. Understand this. Brother Mark, he has a phrase that he uses in regards to this, in regards to the order that the Lord has made. And it's good. And I like it. Servant leader. Our Lord Jesus came to this earth and didn't do a thing for himself. He did what he did for us so that we might be saved. Yet he is our leader. He is our leader. Wives, you're to submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And we believe in the head covering here, and we believe that that's a token that the ladies can speak outwardly and speak in a bold way, that they see this and this place that the Lord has made for them and all that. But you know what? Wearing that head covering, sisters, won't make it right if you're not doing it. It doesn't just, it's not like gravy and just heals it all over. This is a command that goes from day to day. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Submit yourself to your husband the way you submit to the Lord. Submit to the Lord. Ladies, do you submit to the Lord? Submit that same way to your husband. That's what it says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You submit unto the Lord, submit that same way to your husband. A woman that does not submit herself to her husband will not submit to the Lord. A woman that is not submitting herself to her husband is not submitting to the Lord. Mark it down. That's what God says. But see, it just doesn't stop there. What the brother says about servant leader. Listen to this. A man that does not understand and have an appreciation for the vulnerability of a wife submitting to her husband will not himself submit to the Lord. This isn't just, ha-ha, I'm the dominant leader of the home. No. Got to understand that a woman that has a husband has been given to submit to her husband. A woman that is not married is yet given to submit to her father. That's the order of the Lord. But a man that doesn't understand how that all works, he won't be, because see, the man is submitting to Christ. And if he doesn't get it about how the woman and the place that the Lord's made for her to submit to her husband or submit to her father, if he doesn't get that, he doesn't get the responsibility of that and the vulnerability of a woman in that, he won't himself see how he needs to submit to the Lord. None of us are off the hook. And it's great responsibility to have the care for a wife and a care for a family. Because what we say, fellas, is supposed to go in our home. But if we don't say what's right, we're accountable for it. So submission. Submission. It goes on to say, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. He is the Savior of the body. Christ is the head of the church. It's his institution. It's his body. We got to know that and remember that and see that and believe that and follow in that. He's the head of the church and we're following him. He's our Savior. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The church is to be subject to Christ. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A husband is to love his wife so that he give his life for her. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He gave himself for this, for Olmsted Baptist Church. And are we just going to be flighty about it and willy-nilly about it? Are we going to be obedient to him and understand more and in a greater way and blessed way what he's done for us in this calling? This work, this calling in the Lord's church, you heard me say it, it's not a spectator sport. We've all got a part. We've all got a part. We all have a place. Verse 26, that he might sanctify it. He gave himself for his church for a purpose, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And not a naked, marred up church, but a church set apart, a church that has been cleansed by the water of the word. That's what we do when we meet together to worship. The word of God is always a part. Amen? The word of God is always to be a part. Not books that men have written. Not that we can't gain help from different things, but it all comes back to the word of God, doesn't it? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, a glorious church and one without blemish, or are you helping out to keep Olmsted Baptist Church without blemishes, or you got the world on you? Do I have the world on me? So ought men, verse 28, to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. That's what the Lord does for us. He nourishes and cherishes us. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Wow, that's getting serious, isn't it? Partaken of Jesus fully and completely. Serious, serious business. It goes on to say, well, it says here in verse 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh, of his bones. See what this is alluding to? It's telling about marriage, but what he's really talking about is the church. And there isn't the reference that two twain in marriage shall be one flesh? And what's he say here? For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. You know, there's a sense in this that in his church we are married to our Lord Jesus Christ. Is not the church referred to as his bride? Well, how are you doing as a bride? How am I doing as a bride? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, verse 31, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's the subject at hand. Taking something that's already known and telling about the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So we see that Jesus has built his church. He adds to his church. The church is one local body in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his body, we are connected. Our bodies are members of his body, his church. In his church, we are married to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the typology and that which is shown there in Ephesians 5. And then as members of his body, we have a responsibility and commands from him. In John chapter 14, verse 15, the Lord Jesus says it plain and straight, if you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the Lord has commanded us some things. He has. And he shows us some things, and he reveals these things that we've discussed this morning unto us. He's done so. And so, as members of his body, we have a responsibility. We do have commands from him. And the good brother, as he writes here in the book of Hebrews, tells us some things in a summary fashion about this responsibility and these commands and a warning. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21, let's read quickly. And having an high priest over the house of God, he is our great high priest. To the Jews, we Even though we're Gentiles, the Lord Jesus is our high priest, even not being Jews, not having any partaking or even command of the Lord to obey the sacrificial and ceremonial law. But notice what it says. And having an high priest over the house of God. What is the house of God? It's His church. It's His church. Built up of sinners that He has saved. Here we go. Let us draw near. It doesn't say let us draw farther away. But it says let us draw near. Brothers and sisters, are you drawing near? Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Thinking. You know, when you want to miss out on your service to the Lord and His church, you want to miss out on services, you want to miss out on things that you do, and I'm talking about willfulness, that's what this passage is talking about. You start thinking about it first. You know what? We need to put that evil thinking away from us. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance and faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, that of the Word. Our bodies are part of His body. Verse number 23. So let us draw near in verse 22 and verse 23. Let us hold fast. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. The profession of our faith without wavering. Profession of faith is not salvation. A profession of faith is telling that we have been saved, that we have faith in Christ about what He's commanded, that not only did the Lord save me and give His life for me, the gospel, He fulfilled that for me, His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of my soul and for my redemption and the granting to me of eternal life. Not only do I believe the Lord in that, but I believe Him that I should be baptized and follow Him in His church. It's His calling. What Jesus says, do we believe it? To simply believe it. And not believe it by mouth, but believe it by performance, by obedience, by hearkening, hearing and doing. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. What He said, He will do. We can trust Him in it, even as His people. In verse number 24, and let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I can't provoke you to love and good works. And I can't consider you unless I'm near to you. Unless I come close to you. Unless you come close to me, we come close one to another. That's a purpose, a part of the purpose and the reason for the services that we have. We can't help one another unless we have fellowship with one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And then it goes on to say here, not forsaking. Not forsaking the assembling. Not forsaking the assembling. Don't forsake meeting together. Because if you forsake meeting together, you can't draw near. You're not holding fast. And you're not considering your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not considering our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. See you Sunday, see you Wednesday, see you this week during the revival services. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day of meeting, the day of services, the day of special services, as we see the return of our Lord Jesus. I don't mind applying it both of those ways. I think it's appropriate. Here's the warning. For if you and I sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, and brothers and sisters, and myself, we've got the knowledge of the truth right here out of Scripture one more time. For if we willfully don't draw near, if we willfully don't hold fast, if we willfully don't consider one another to provoke one another to love and good works, if we willfully forsake the assembling of ourselves together, if we become idolatrous and that we allow other things to rise up between us and the Lord. Oh yeah, we don't have a problem in Kentucky with idol figures, do we? But mankind has always had a problem with idolatry in the heart. We take other things and put them up between us and the Lord. And we'll justify it and we'll make an excuse for it. Very rarely have a good reason. Now, I'm not talking about providential hindrance and all that. You understand that. But I'm talking about oxen that we kick in the ditch. But the things that we'll do to not honor the Lord on His day. And so on. He said, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for sins. See, all my sins before I was saved, this is the way I reckon this, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood covers them. All the sins that I will ever perform or that I will ever do, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers them from the standpoint of eternal condemnation and damnation and doom. When you're saved unto the Lord, unto eternity with Him. I don't have to worry about any chastisement of the Lord for my sins previous to when I was saved, because Jesus took care of them. Now, there is the principle of sowing and reaping. We all have to endure that. That's the way that is. But once you've been saved and you sin against your Lord, and you and I would sin willfully against our Lord, isn't that what it says? For if we sin willfully after the way we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Does it mean that you're condemned to hell eternally? No. But what's going to happen is the Lord's going to chastise, and He's going to judge, and He's going to bring rebuke and chastisement upon us. Listen, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Those who are without Christ, that chastisement, that judgment of the Lord would devour them. It won't devour us. But I tell you what, it won't be pleasant to go through. It won't be pleasant to go through. But a certain feel for looking of judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And then from verses 28 and on, it gives an example of how that is. Jesus has built His church. Jesus adds to His church. The church is one local body in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Him. Don't forget that. He is here in the midst of the church. In His body, we are connected. Our bodies are members of His body, His church. In His church, we are married, in a sense, married to our Lord Jesus Christ. And as members of His body, we have a responsibility, commands from Him, and a warning from Him. Ephesians 3:21. I hope you know this passage. Because see, the Lord created mankind to bring honor and glory to Him. God Almighty created mankind, and that was the job of mankind, to have dominion over the earth and bring honor and glory and praise to God Almighty. That's what we've been created for. It doesn't matter who you are, or where you've been, what you've done, who you know, all those things. None of that matters. If you're a human being, you've been created to honor and glorify our Lord. Understand that being saved, we've been brought from darkness unto light. We've been brought from death unto life. We've been brought from ignorance to knowledge about Christ. We have been brought to where we can understand about sin, and we can say no to sin. We can turn to things righteous because we've been illuminated and enlightened by God, by His Word. You know what? By the Lord saving us and putting us in His church, we've been brought to a place that we can truly glorify Him. And we glorify Him, we're to be glorifying Him individually in our lives. We're to be glorifying our Lord in our homes, in our families, in our marriages, in our work. We're to glorify our Lord in all those things. But our brother writes here in this last verse of chapter 3 of Ephesians, to this church at Ephesus, there in Asia Minor, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Have you been saved and added to a church by the Lord Jesus Christ? That's to you. You've been called to glorify Him in His church. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. We're members of His body throughout all ages, world without end. May we glorify our Lord. Amen. Our place in our Lord's church. Our place in our Lord's church.